Eclipse Aviation lays off 38% of its workforce. The TSA digs its hole deeper with retaliation against American Eagle. And should busy airports ban experimentals? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 25th, 2008. Confirming earlier reports that had surfaced from suppliers, on Friday, Eclipse Aviation announced it will cut back production of the Eclipse 500 very light jet and furlough 650 recently hired and contract workers at its facilities nationwide. The company calls it part of new CEO Roel Pieper's operational excellence strategy. The cuts amount to 38% of the company's workforce. In its brief statement, the company said, quote, "The reduction is an effort to achieve financial stability as soon as possible," unquote. Pieper says he remains 100% committed to his plan. Quote, "Financial stability is critical for this company, and unfortunately, a reduction in workforce was necessary to achieve it. I'm confident this action will set the company on the path to profitability so that we can continue to lead the very light jet category," unquote. A direct result of the cuts will be a slowdown in production through 2008, though the company did not give any specific numbers. Eclipse says it intends to increase production back to previous levels and higher in 2009. Continuing in its new post-Vern stance regarding the media, Eclipse is declining to release any further information or conduct any interviews at this time. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration, embarrassed last week for supporting an inspector who climbed aboard American Eagle regional jets at Chicago O'Hare by using air temperature probes as grab handles, has retaliated against the airline with charges and fines. The TSA told CNN Thursday it will investigate multiple security violations and may fine the airline as much as $175,000. TSA says airlines are allowed to park planes with unsecured doors overnight, provided they're not too close to jetways, but American Eagle is leaving its planes both unlocked and too close. The agency told CNN it has consistently found problems with American Eagle at O'Hare, adding that this is an isolated problem unique to this airline at this airport. Early Tuesday morning, a TSA inspector reported he was able to gain access to 7 of 9 parked American Eagle planes by grabbing the fragile air temperature probes on the outside of the fuselages to pull himself up to unlock doors. The airline delayed 40 flights to check for damage as a result after its own employees observed the inspector and warned maintenance officials. The airline says neither TSA nor the inspector said anything about the dangerous stunt ahead of scheduled takeoffs, putting crews and passengers at risk. The TSA now admits its inspector erred and says he'll be retrained, but the agency says he was, quote, "seeking to close a real danger to the traveling public. The TSA stands behind the inspector and that effort," unquote. It's hard not to wonder if TSA would still back its inspector if this was all part of an NTSB report. Following the tragic fatal crash of a Velocity 173RG in Las Vegas, a local official from the Clark County Aviation Authority appears to be making experimental aircraft the scapegoat for his agency's poor recent safety record. Aviation Director Randy Walker appears to be calling for a ban on experimental aircraft at the North Las Vegas Airport. He also says he considers flight instruction and, quote, "solo flying," unquote, to be high risk as well. There's no data yet to suggest that the Velocity accident had any cause unique to experimental aircraft, but there's plenty of evidence to suggest that any flying at North Las Vegas is high risk. Last year, a report by Forbes ranked it as the most dangerous airport in the nation, with 63 runway incursions and 6 deaths in 7 years. Interviews with local media indicate that Walker is seeking to limit experimental aircraft to rural airports with sparse population. I can't wait for my next issue of EAA's newsletter. Pratt & Whitney reports its Pure Power PW1000G demonstration engine has completed the first phase of flight testing on a company-owned 747. The engine's completed 12 flights in about 43 hours and has now been shipped to Toulouse, France, to be tested on an Airbus-owned A340. Company VP Bob Saya calls performance so far flawless. Quote, "This second phase of testing, which will include approximately 75 flight hours, will focus on engine performance and acoustic testing while providing valuable installation and operating data." Last year, Pratt & Whitney's geared turbofan was selected as the exclusive power plant for the new Mitsubishi Regional Jet and the Bombardier C-Series. The engine targets double-digit reductions in fuel burn, emissions, noise, and operating costs. Coming up next, Boeing repeats its threat to opt out of KCX bidding. A Hawker Sea Fury is down on the way to the Reno air races. And two NASA experiments are lost in a rocket failure. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 25th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing says it's looked at the length of time needed to develop a competitive entrant for the Pentagon's revised KCX contract bid for a new U.S. Air Force tanker, and decided it will likely decline to bid for the $40 billion deal. If that decision becomes final and official, it would essentially hand the contract to the only other competitor, Northrop Grumman's joint venture with Eads. Boeing's 767-based tanker was said to be a very close match to the requirements in the U.S. Air Force's original request for proposals. Then, Northrop proposed a bigger aerial tanker based on the Airbus A330, and the Air Force selected that bid. Boeing challenged the award before the Government Accountability Office and won a do-over, but the new request for proposals gives higher priority to capacity, favoring Northrop. The Wall Street Journal reports Boeing needs 6 months to design a tanker based on its 777 widebody or on the long-range 767-400. The Pentagon's bid deadline is 6 weeks. It's widely believed the Pentagon would prefer to have two competitors, and many U.S. lawmakers are staunch Boeing supporters. So this all points to what could be a chicken race to see if the Pentagon will cave and give Boeing some extra time to make its bid. A pilot flying in ahead of next month's Reno National Championship air races escaped uninjured Wednesday after his vintage Hawker Sea Fury lost its engine on approach to the airport. FAA spokesman Ian Greger told the Reno Journal-Gazette the aircraft was ditched near the approach end of runway 32 at Reno Stead Airport about 1:15 p.m. local time on Wednesday. The plane was substantially damaged, but the pilot was unhurt. The plane is owned by Kavanaugh Flight Museum in Addison, Texas, and competed at Reno in 2005. It was registered to compete in the unlimited class at this year's races, September 10th through the 14th. Safety is on everyone's minds this year after three pilots died in accidents at last year's event. Among the changes are a rookie school to give both new and returning pilots the chance to bone up on procedures and safety concerns prior to the races. An Alliant Tech Systems suborbital rocket carrying two NASA hypersonic experiments exploded shortly after liftoff early Friday morning from NASA's Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia. No injuries or property damage were immediately reported. Most debris is thought to have fallen in the Atlantic, but there are some reports of debris being sighted on land. That debris could be hazardous. If you think you've encountered rocket debris, don't touch it, but report it to the Wallops Emergency Operations Center at 757-824-1300. NASA says it's disappointed and will investigate. Last week, in a press release about a review of the Eclipse 500 type certificate, the FAA mentioned that such reviews are not unusual and mentioned several other types which had received similar scrutiny. Among those mentioned was the Liberty XL2. Well, Liberty, which is based in Melbourne, Florida, hurried to put out its own release, pointing out that its plane has never been the subject of a special certification review. The company says the FAA's Small Airplane Directorate has acknowledged the error. Liberty issued a statement clarifying that it has, quote, never received from the FAA a single customer service difficulty report, nor has the FAA issued an airworthiness directive against the XL2, unquote. Liberty says there are more than 130 XL2s in service. Still ahead, Faye continues to pound parts of Florida. United brings free food back to business class. And here's a guy who gives pilots a bad name. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 25th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. So much for back to normal. Managers at NASA's Kennedy Space Center called its ride-out crew back to work on Thursday and expected to be open for business as usual Friday, but Tropical Storm Fay had other ideas. She stalled off Florida's Atlantic coast, pounding northern and western Florida with heavy rain and tropical storm force winds over the weekend. NASA reports minor damage and the need to do some mopping up, but no damage to spaceflight hardware. Other Florida aviation and aerospace facilities haven't fared so well. Friday, top gusts between 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern reached 45 miles per hour at Mayport Naval Station, 42 at Craig Municipal Airport, and 39 at St. Augustine. Damage was reported to a number of aircraft and the control tower at Jacksonville's Craig Field. Days after United Airlines announced it would charge business class passengers for food on domestic and even most international flights, the airline now says it will launch a trial program to bring free food back, but not full meals. In its announcement, United says, quote, "As part of the trial, on domestic flights with three cabins of service, United will be offering United Business customers complimentary fresh sandwiches, salads, snack boxes, or snacks, depending on the length of the flight. The product will be the same as the buy onboard sandwiches and salads offered in United Economy," unquote. United notes business class customers will continue to enjoy complimentary beverages, including wine and cocktails. The statement adds, quote, "At the end of the year, United will evaluate the results of the trial and determine next steps," unquote. You know, we always love it when we get to report on model pilots who make great ambassadors for aviation. And then, other times, there's this guy. KDKA Television in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania reports an unnamed pilot flew low over a number of golfers on a course in Rostrever last Tuesday. Witnesses said the pilot seemed to be enjoying himself, flying repeatedly and recklessly overhead. Rostrever Police Chief Greg Resitar adds the pilot also buzzed a neighboring soccer field. Quote, "He was flying low over top of where the children were practicing or playing, and that was in the high school area," unquote. This guy may have thought he'd get away with it, but as he flew low over the fairway for the fourth hole, the ultralight hit a ski lift wire and crashed onto the green. The unidentified pilot suffered a broken arm and head injuries, but is expected to recover to face a list of charges, which is yet to be announced. And finally, a preliminary test of the parachute system, designed to softly return NASA's upcoming crew exploration vehicle to Earth, failed in spectacular fashion in its last test, resulting in an Orion-sized dent in the Arizona desert landscape. NASA says the test went awry early as one of the so-called programmer chutes failed to inflate properly. As a result, instead of falling right side up, the wooden capsule mock-up tumbled almost from the moment it was released from the C-17 carrier aircraft. Maybe a recovery system that uses 18 parachutes is just too complicated. But anyway, when the time came for the main chutes to be deployed, only one of the three remained attached to the tumbling mock-up, and it was torn and too badly damaged to inflate properly. What followed must have looked to the C-17 crew like a Wile E. Coyote exit from one of the old Roadrunner cartoons, complete with a big thud and dust cloud at the end. NASA says the program is still on track for 2015, but adds it's had nothing but trouble with those parachutes from Acme. Okay, I made that last part up. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my weekly chat with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, we'll discuss what makes for a worthwhile flight review, how you can get the most benefit from your time with your instructor. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.